Welcome to the Prolific Pulse Poetry Podcast. This is your host, Lisa Tolmin. Today, our guest is Victoria Haida Maldonado. She is the editor of the book entitled The Evidence I Have Lived, which is a collection of poetry by the late Lisa Golo. We lost Lisa to suicide in 2018, and Victoria will be sharing with us about her experiences with writing this book. Welcome to the Prolific Pulse Poetry Podcast and YouTube. This is your host, Lisa Tolmin. Today we have Victoria Haida Maldonado, and she is the author of Lisa Golo's book, and we are going to learn all about that. Welcome, Victoria.
Hi, Lisa.
So great to have you here today. I recently finished Lisa's book, and I've got 20,000 questions for you, but I'll see if I can kind of narrow them down a little bit. But first, tell us about yourself.
Go ahead. I'm an author of adult women's fiction and also some children's books. And I'm an editor by trade. I've been editing for the better part of the last 20 years. And I was a high school teacher in there too. I do editing and writing full time. And one of my passion projects was to produce Lisa's poetry book posthumously. She passed in December 2018. So, yeah.
And do you write poetry?
I did when I was younger. I haven't really taken a stab at it in recent years. I have some somewhere. Maybe I'll get around to unearthing some of those and putting those out there. But with my children's book, I actually write in rhyming verse. So I guess that's kind of poetry.
Yeah. Okay.
Poetry vibe that.
Definitely. If you write children's books, you probably are writing some form of poetry because most of them do rhyme. I know some that don't, but
I think it gives me my little stab into poetry because I do miss poetry, but the stuff I wrote when I was young was just maudlin and horrible. So the children's books let me get that rhyming cadence, which comes pretty naturally to me, but it can be more sing-song and more predictable than traditional poetry or poetry you want to do yourself.
Yeah, do they follow a certain theme, or is it like a certain moral to the story kind of thing, or how does that work?
A lot of my my Bartleby the Brave, which is up here on the wall. Yeah, there we go. That one is about kindness and bravery in the face of odds that might not want you to be kind. And then I have another one that is all about loving compassion and getting that out into the world, which is about to come out very soon.
Oh, lovely. Wow. I'll have to check into those. I sometimes pick up a book and send it to my nieces. So that would be, nice for them to have. They have children ranging from almost born to to like maybe I think the oldest is 10 or 11 or something like that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I write for whatever age. I mean, parents have loved the book and elementary age. I mean, it's whatever. So,
Okay. And now about Lisa Golo, tell us a little bit about how you got involved in writing this book. And I would like to talk about Lisa too, but let's talk first about how you got into writing this book.
Yeah, so like I said, Lisa passed from suicide in December 2018. I had known her since the fall of 2015. We met through our church. We're at Community Christian Church in Naperville through a program called Alpha. And Alpha is a program where people who might be not non-believers or just not too confident in what they believe, they go to this course and it answers a lot of the basic questions about Jesus and about faith and that kind of stuff. Alpha personally changed my life. I was an atheist for the better part of 30 years. and the Alpha Course, which began in England, really just made me see the light, for lack of better something to say about it. But then I began leading and helping with Alpha, and then Lisa came in as a guest, and then she became a helper, and we became really good friends through that program. And I knew she always wrote poetry, but she really didn't share anything with anybody. She was very nervous, about what people would think about what she was writing, because she didn't write for anyone else. She just wrote for herself. And she wrote to figure out the demons she was fighting and the troubles she was having emotionally and whatnot. So she shared a few things with us, but they were more of her more uplifting poems, like when she finally came to faith, that kind of thing. But we never got to see the dark stuff. But she said she was a poet. So after she passed, maybe a month or two after she passed, it was just pulling on my heart that she cannot go quietly into that good night, to quote Jeff. But yet she had written so much, and I knew she had written so much. I asked her husband, I saw him in church one day, and I asked her husband, I'm like, okay, when you're ready and when you're willing, can I get all of Lisa's poetry and try to make something of it? I would like to see what's there, do something, maybe publish it, put it in a book, and then give all the money back to your family, because it's your legacy, it's her legacy. So I'd like to be able to give you back all the money from whatever happens. And he's like, oh, sure, no problem. And within a week, he gave me a flash drive with mountains and mountains of things on it. And also a big folder, I probably have it somewhere, of paper, handwritten poems as well. And it took me several months just to input all of the poetry, sort through it, organize it, figure out what was going on. But she dated everything, so it reads like a complete journal. Life, which was really fascinating. So I kept that chronology intact. But yeah, Lisa meant so much to us, but I didn't realize how much I didn't actually know her until I read through her poetry.
Right.
And I knew her very well. We would hang out, we did all the church things together, and then she would also come over to our house for social things. But I didn't really know her, which was very eye-opening for me when I finally got into the thick of it.
Right. Yeah, I can, and reading the book, I mean, I really like how it is laid out. It gives you a real chronological view of her life. And so, what she wrote is very painful. She does have, positive points in there too. It's not like it's all, pain, but there are other things in there too. And one of the things that really stood out is like when she did get involved with her church and that, it seemed like that brought her some spirited feelings in her life. Ultimately, I don't know how many suicide attempts she had, but and then to finally end her life. We don't know sometimes what's going on in people's lives, do we?
No. And that's one of the more painful parts. We, on the outside, we thought she was getting better. But then she had three different attempts toward the end of 2018. But in every other thing, we thought she was getting help. We thought she was getting better. She wasn't sharing anything with the people that we thought were the closest to her. And so it was still startling when it happened.
Absolutely. How was it for you to read through all of this poetry?
Very difficult. it was a bit traumatic at times because it was just heartbreaking. Right. I'm like, Lisa, it's weird because your name is Lisa too. Sorry. But in my head, I would just be going, oh God, Lisa, if you had only known how much we actually loved you and cared, and if you had shared we could have done something, but maybe we couldn't have done something. So I was on this weird teeter-totter of, could we have done anything, or was this something none of us could control? We thought we were being there for her, but she was only letting us in about this much when her pain was, you know, a lot bigger than that. So, but yeah, reading through the poetry, I went through her emotions with her. And a lot of the poems, maybe half of them, were encrypted in a weird file. So I literally had to type them in and go through her trauma with her as I was doing it. Yeah, I would come out of a typing session and my husband would just be like, what is wrong with you? But I was going through the emotions with her as she was feeling them. And then I began to see the waves of the patterns as I put them in chronological order. And it was pretty telling what she was going through. And it was hard to deal with. Yeah.
Yeah. I can imagine. I mean, I know if I come across something that someone in my family has written, you know, that I've lost, it's hard to read that. I can read other things and may not affect me quite as much. And I'm slow to get emotional about things. But if it was like reading something like my mother wrote or my brother or sister or something like that, it would definitely, you know, shake things up in me. So I can imagine. Mm-hmm. Probably have to take little breaks and stuff to just get through it.
I did. I often did, yeah.
Well, you know, suicide is one of those, you know, it's one of these things, like we're all diamonds, but it's like we only sometimes see one little facet in a person, and there's so much that's behind all of that, you know, and it may have been what brought out her, you know, being involved in the church and being, you know, having those spiritual experiences. She was open to that. Mm-hmm. But there's so much going on behind the scenes that we can't see, all those other facets that play into that. So
yeah, I mean, absolutely. She was so generous with herself, her time. She loved to cook. And part of the Alpha program is to provide food for the guests. And she was a juggernaut with that. She would come in and do the stuff. But then she had physical limitations. Her hemiplegic migraines would cause seizures. So like half her body would be paralyzed temporarily. And so she would come to Alpha and want to be participating and then be limited and couldn't. And that added to some of the depression. This is all things we learned in retrospect, unfortunately. But yeah, she gave and gave and gave. And she could have given so much more of herself. She just chose to hold a lot of it back.
Mm-hmm. But she's still giving by your finding that poetry and publishing it. That's another way her voice is kept alive in this world. And if it can help save one person, it's worth it.
Exactly. And I've had some comments of that. Some people who have read it, who didn't know Lisa, they've commented either through people who know me or directly to me that they were just impacted so incredibly. I had one woman who bought two initially and then bought two more because she had people that she wanted to give them to. I'm like, well, that's kind of what we hope, that it resonates and it can help that just that one person, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Also, from an artist's perspective, because art's my other love, mm-hmm. I really enjoyed the different, you know, art pieces that were in there. Can you tell me about where all that came from?
Yeah, in Lisa's files, when I got the poetry from her husband, so many of them had clip art or photos that were included along with them, but for copyright issues, and I didn't really want to put clip art in the book, I reached out to on Instagram, Facebook, and just in the community to friends and people I didn't know, and I said, will you donate art and photography to this book? You won't be monetarily compensated, you will be credited. The art is completely your copyright and all the legal things. But every single one of the art pieces in this book was donated for this book. And I take pride in that. I had one artist ask me for copyright compensation. I'm like, if I haven't done that for anyone else, then I don't have the budget for that. And this should be a project of giving, because Lisa herself was a giver. And so, I got everybody to donate everything. Some of them knew Lisa personally. Some of them had never met Lisa and just wanted to do it. Some people I had never previously met. One man, Ronald Botts, who gave me a number of art pieces. He became the illustrator for my first children's book because he drew really beautiful birds, and my book was about a bird. So I'm like, do you want to do a children's book? And he's like, sure. But every one of them, when I selected an art piece for a poem, I would send the artist the poem with the art together and make sure they were comfortable. So they had complete control of saying, no, I'm not good with that. But nobody said that, which was really gratifying. Because I had read through the poems probably 5 times by that point, inputting them, editing, laying out, like every round of permutation. I knew the poems, and so I would see an art piece and it would just call to me and say, okay, that's the poem, you know, that I need to put with that. And then I would, you know, make sure, but I was really intentional about what I put where to get a certain feeling or thing, because art is poetry, poetry is art. One of my favorite poets of all time really isn't much of a poet. Her name is Maria Bentivoglio, and she's from Italy. And she does sculptures that have words kind of attributed to them, and they are the most beautiful poetic art pieces I've ever in my life encountered. And so that's kind of where it stemmed from. And I have some photography in there too, because there were some poems I'm like, I really want this one illustrated, but nobody's giving me anything. So I did the minor photographic, you know, work. But I mean, it was nice. And all the artists have purchased a copy, and then they've been promoting the book, which has helped quite a bit. So
great. And I like how you put resources in there as well.
Yes. Yeah, I have a good friend, and my friend Lauren also knew Lisa quite well, and she's a psychologist. And so I was able to, I'm like, can you give some mental health resources just in case somebody is struggling or needs to reach out? And then the lead pastor from our church, you know, read the book and endorsed it. So that's just, it's been really nice all across the board.
That's great. I hope that it also will, you know, benefit the family. I love how you know, have reached out and, you know, offered them that, you know, financial support from the book, because, you know, there's always going to be struggles. So she has some children.
Yeah. Right? She has 2 children, Christopher and Jordan. They're both in college now, but so they're still fairly young.
Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that helps, you know, with that as well. Well, I think it's just, you know, a wonderful book. I would be writing a review on it separate from the podcast so that I can do a podcast review. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just a tremendous book. I come from a background working with as a social worker and working with mental health. So it's something that would definitely could say it certainly is a great portrayal of what people go through for dealing with depression and have suicide ideations and in life in general. If more people were to write, it would help. And they may, or, you know, it may end up that they, you know, end up taking the path of suicide. But, you know, it's a way to, but writing is a way to express these feelings. And perhaps since one of the ways it helped her to get as far in life as she did.
I think so. I mean, her first attempt at suicide was in 2015, but she had a super real and visceral encounter with Jesus as she woke up from her coma. But then she had more physical traumas after that. But yeah, and one of the most important things to understand about her poetry is that she didn't write it for anyone else. She didn't intend people to really see it. She had this desire for people to see it, but she was so scared that she never did that. So everything she wrote was simply for her to try to figure out what she was feeling, how she was feeling. She didn't write for attention. She didn't write for effect. She didn't write for poetic technique. But they're still so beautiful. And one of the things I loved and was so confusing to me at the beginning, because I'm an editor, she doesn't like punctuation, which killed me. So when I was first, you know, typing in her things, I was adding punctuation that would make sense. But then as I got I don't know, to 15, 20 poems. And I'm like, she doesn't use punctuation and it's intentional. So I went back and took it out of everything I had already done and I left it more intact. I mean, there were some typos I fixed, obviously, but no, I left it how she intended it. And I, as I was reflecting on it, I'm like, that's so intentional. She asked all these questions and there's no question marks. She's scared to ask these questions. I mean, there was so much intention and meaning behind everything she did, and yet she never sought a claim and she never sought to publish because she was just too scared. So.
Right. Well, if she was writing without punctuation, she was probably writing very freely. And, you know, that's, you know, like I do a lot of free writing and I make myself not stop and do anything, just write. And, you know, she never thought anybody would see it, but maybe it, even if she had, she would have preferred it to be just the way she had it.
And that's how it kind of, it occurred to me. And I'm like, oh yeah, I gotta be more authentic and not insert my grammatical will on it. So.
Yes. I'm going to share the screen. I want to show some of the wonderful things you have out on the interweb. First of all, there's your Instagram page. Which you're doing for National Poetry Month, the different art pieces that are in the book. And I think these, I really like this one a lot.
Yeah. That's yeah. The artist I have for my children's book right there. So.
Oh, wow. I could see why you contracted with him to do your children's book.
Yeah, his coloring
book, you know?
is gorgeous. So.
Yes, this one particularly stood out to me as well.
Yeah.
And then we have, this is from your website, victoriajhyla.com, and it has the book on there, and a little bit of a story behind it, and then it's on All Author, and the Kindle version is what I bought. Now, on the paperback version, are all the art pieces in color?
Yes, the art pieces are all in color in the paper version. That was a very wonderful gift that the printer gave me because and they did it on bright white paper so it pops really well. Let me see if I can, yeah, so you can see here's the book, so yeah, so it's in bright color.
That's a nice professional
it was really nice.
Wow, because sometimes it's hard to capture.
Yeah, and I was really hoping to keep it in color because I mean it's more expensive, but they kind of gave me a gift with that because of the nature of the project. And on the cover is actually Lisa's artwork as well. She actually painted this.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I think there's a footnote somewhere in the book about it, but unless you really see it, but she loved red. She requested no black at her memorial service. And so, like, her husband was in a bright red hockey jersey because they were big hockey fans, and all of us wore bright colors because that's what she would have wanted. And so that's why I chose this particular piece for the cover, because she was vibrant, and it was just, there was that underlying darkness that she just didn't let people see.
Right. Yeah. Would you like to read some of her poetry? I would love to hear it.
Sure. I'd love to. I am going to read something called Obscured. And she wrote it in October 2013. So here we go. All right, so it says, I just want to be free, free from all the pain in their faces and the pain in my heart. No one knows what it's like, but it's been there from the start. I sit alone in the dark, pretending I'm fine. No one even notices when I give them a line. It's easier for them to believe I'm okay instead of the truth that haunts me each day. I'm a shell of myself inside and out. I took my whole life to get here. Now I need a way out. What can I believe in when hope has faded away? I wonder who I am, what role do I play? Silence is a refuge. I've never liked to talk. No one ever listened, so I learned to think and then keep it to myself. No wonder I can count my friends on one hand. I don't let people in, they just won't understand. My first impression leaves something to be desired, but after all my disappointment, my heart is just too tired. How can you be free from what haunts you inside? My only answer has always been to hide. As I sit in the dark, I feel somewhat secure, but only in the fact that my truth is obscured. So you can see kind of in that one, that struggle she was having, where she was in so much pain and so much loneliness and wanted to reach out, but just didn't feel like she could. So she just has that complete internal struggle. And I didn't know her in 2013, but I mean, I knew her later, but just that loneliness that she was feeling was just,
right.
Oof. Yeah. Would you like me to, I can go on to another one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This next one is actually where I discovered what I wanted to use for the title of the book. The title of the book is The Evidence I Have Lived, and it came from this poem, and there's a quote on the page with the poem that I will share at the end. The poem is called When, and it was written in December 2017, a year before she passed. So here we go. When do you know if your life has meaning? If anyone noticed that you were even breathing? When do you know if your life was worth it? If anyone noticed that you didn't quit? When do you know if your life touched another? If anyone noticed how much you were a lover? When do you know if your life came true? If anyone noticed you did what you were meant to? When do you know if your life was good enough? If anyone noticed that you grew up? When do you know if your life gave love? If anyone noticed how much they were thought of? When do you know if your life ceased? If anyone noticed you were finally at peace? And then the quote that she wrote that went along with it says, where is the evidence that I have lived? And when I came upon that particular quote, I knew instantly.
Yes.
That was the inspiration for the title. I wrote it on a post-it note next to me, and I'm like, wait, I'll get through the rest of her poems, and I will see if there's anything else that calls to me that much. Nothing ever did. And so that became the title of the entire anthology. And I share that poem with quite a few people because it really goes into her experience. She wanted
Absolutely.
To be known and remembered, but she wasn't sure she would be. So.
Well, that was the perfect title for the book. That is a perfect title. Definitely sums it up well.
I feel like Lisa was actually speaking to me during some of this. In a way, I mean, because it would just resonate, and I would just be done. I'm like, I'm good. That's it.
Yeah, I could see that. You know, you kind of develop that spiritual connection as you're working on something like that.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I tend to believe that people are never all that far away when they leave us. That there's some kind of a spirit. Of some sort.
There was some kind of connection, and I had that experience a few times when I was placing art or placing quotes, where I would just be so uncertain and worrying about it, and then I would hit on the right one, and just like when music sounds right, it just made sense. So because you know Absolutely. When music sounds bad and music sounds good, it's very similar but kind of more internal. So that was it was fun.
Right. It's nice that in this time of COVID and all that we still have a way to reach out and, you know, talk to people about this sort of thing, you know, because, you know, I think right now with so many people being alone that I wonder if that's going to make, you know, mental health more of an issue.
I do
know that with the option to have psychotherapy sessions online or by telephone, that must help. You know, to be able to still see somebody, you know, and talk to somebody about things.
Yeah.
So I think that if anybody's listening now that, you know, is going through some of the things that Lisa went through, you know, to know that there is help out there. And I will be posting in the show notes all these different links that I have from you so that, you know, people can know to reach out for help if they need it, and to use poetry, to use writing in any form, to try to work through journaling or whatever it takes to help, you know, them get through whatever they're going through in life. It makes a big difference.
Yeah, I mean, I do that in my own writing. I've used my novels to work through a bunch of traumas I've been through. Like my third book, particularly, helped me really come to grips with a very particularly nasty portion of my life. So yeah, writing is definitely therapeutic in that sense. And just
Absolutely.
so the listeners know, I am five copies away, hard copies away from being able to give 100% of the profits to the family. So
Nice.
please buy those hard copies. I will mail them to you myself. The order forms have all the information that you need, and I can't wait to start being able to send her husband Dominic like 20 bucks at a time as copies come in. I'm very excited about that.
Yes, well, that's wonderful, and certainly a gift from your heart to do that as well. I know it's not a low price or cheap prospect to publish, and it's kudos to you for doing this for the family. That's wonderful.
Yeah, they're wonderful people, and her children have been so strong throughout this entire thing. And I mean, one of Lisa's worries, and she writes about it a couple of times, was that she'd pass on her mental struggles to her daughter. As far as I know, so far her daughter hasn't manifested any of that, but it was a legit worry for her, understandably so. But yeah, anything that Lisa can still give back to the family, which she was always worried about providing financially, and her medical bills went to the hundreds of thousands, and the family is still hit with all of that. So any small part I can do, or big part, if somehow this gets into the hands of the right people, I would love to be able to help the family with that. So, that's kind of what I would like to give back to her.
Right. Well, as COVID lifts and you're able to go out into the world again, I can see this being something to share with different groups that focus on these things, because I think this book could benefit someone
Well,
or a
I'm
lot of people.
thank you for saying that. And me coming from a social worker background, that gives me a lots of hope. And yeah, once we can start going out into the world and sharing, I'm going to be reaching out to organizations and seeing what I can do. So.
Yes, absolutely. Well, my best to you in that effort. How about taking us out with one last poem?
Sure, I will do that. Okay, so this is it's in one of the undated poems, and in the latter half of the book, or latter quarter of the book, I organized poems into themes, but this one could very well have been one of the final poems she wrote. So if she was particularly struggling, she didn't tend to date poems. But this I put at the very end of the book because I felt like it kind of summed up her struggle and her loss of that struggle. So it's called The End. Have you ever felt the pain where all the happiness is drowned by all the stress and you wish for the end? Have you ever broken where hope is just a token, the tears are endless and you wished for the end? Have you ever felt all alone even though a few do care? Life is still more than you can bear and you wish for the end. Have you ever known what it's like to want to leave behind this life, knowing no one will understand, even if you write it with your own hand and wish for the end? Have you ever wanted to know peace, to laugh out loud with ease, to heal your wounded heart, and you wished for the end? Have you ever believed in me? It's my own strength I cannot see, blind to pleasure that can mend, and you wish for the end. Have you ever felt guilty for even feeling the pain, for causing all the strain, but you still wish for the end? Have you ever felt so bad that you just had to cut to see your own blood and let out your pain as you wish for the end? Have you ever longed for an answer to why you are this way, hurting inside every day, and you always wish for the end?
Yes, I actually read that one last night, and I think your placement of that in the book was appropriate. Well, Victoria, thank you so much for all your hard work on this, and thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Having you, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, and you have a wonderful rest of the day.
Thank you, you too.
Thank you for listening to our podcast today. Come back again soon. Would you like to be on our podcast? Send an email to prolificpulse@gmail.com and we'll get back to you soon. Thank you. Have a good day.